In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to dedicate a few talks now on liturgy and the role of liturgy, symbol, and all the rest. Sacramentality would really be the word. So that we have a place to put all our accent on preaching. And also, it'll show us, see, the homily is an essential part of mediating the realities that are presented in the liturgy. Okay, so we're going to look now at this notion of liturgy, okay? There are many different ways of looking at it. I'm going to give you a few. Cipriano Bagagini once said, "The liturgy is the complexus of efficacious signs of the church's sanctification and of her worship." The idea is that liturgy is more God's action than ours. Our action is receptive. And so we're going to move on. Now in Mediator Dei, for instance, liturgy is described. The sacred liturgy is consequently the public worship, which our Redeemer as head of the church renders to the Father. That's the liturgy. The Son worshiping or returning to the Father, as well as the worship which the community of the faithful renders to its Founder, and through him to the Heavenly Father. It is, in short, worship rendered by the mystical body of Christ in the entirety of its head and members. So liturgy is not just a human work. You see, as it just said there, it is worship rendered by the mystical body of Christ in the entirety of both head and members. Now, in Sacrosanctum Concilium from the recent council is a longer description, but it's the same thing. To accomplish so great a work, Christ is always present in his church, especially in her liturgical celebrations, especially. He is present in the sacrifice of the Mass, not only in the person of his minister, the same now offering through the ministry of priests, who formerly offered himself on the cross, but especially under the Eucharistic species. By his power, he is present in the sacraments, so that when a man baptizes, it is really Christ himself who baptizes. He is present in his word, since it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. He is present, lastly, when the church prays and sings, for he promised, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So that you see, it's a work of Christ in and through us, and it's also a work of God endowing us. That's the liturgy. And therefore, it's not an ascetic experience. It's meant to be a work of grace. Now, we'll go on. Perhaps I'll read the one here from Sacrosanctum Concilium number 52 about the homily. "By means of the homily, the mysteries of the faith and the guiding principles of the Christian life are expounded from the sacred text during the course of the liturgical year. The homily, therefore, is to be highly esteemed as part of the liturgy itself and therefore part of the action of Christ. In fact, at those masses which are celebrated with the assistance of people on Sundays and feast days of obligation, it should not be omitted, except for a serious reason." And so, you know, and then there is this wonderful, in the Summa, in the third part, question 60, article 1, St. Thomas talks about this movement from God to us is the fundamental movement in liturgy, and then from us to God. Now, this is not the way we look on liturgy normally, but it's important that we gain this for the sake of our people, and for the sake of what we wish to mediate. Now, I want to look at the sacraments. This is Augustine. The visible sacrifice is the sacrament, that is, the sacred sign of the invisible sacrifice. So this visible sacrifice, the Eucharist, is the sacred sign of the invisible sacrifice, which is present. And so is a kind of sign. Now, I'm going to read a bit of this thing from the Summa. All things that are ordained to one, even in different ways, can be denominated from it, thus from health, which is in an animal. Not only is the animal said to be healthy through the being the subject of health, but medicine is said to be healthy by producing health, diet by preserving it, and urine as being a sign of health. Consequently, a thing may be called a sacrament, either from having a certain hidden sanctity, and in this sense, a sacrament is a sacred secret, or from having some relationship to this sanctity, which relationship be that of a cause, or of a sign, or any other relationship. But now we are speaking of sacraments in a special sense, implying the habitude of sign. And in this way, the sacrament is a sign, but it's an efficacious sign. It makes present what it signifies. And that's why it's so important, okay? Now, this is important for helping our people and ourselves understand what's really going on in the liturgy. Now, I'm going to talk, for the most part, of course, about the Word of God in the sacred liturgy. This is a quote now. Even more, it must be said that Christ himself is present in his word, since it is he who speaks when scripture is read in church. Indeed, the liturgical celebration becomes the continuing, complete, and effective presentation of God's word. The word of God, constantly proclaimed in the liturgy, is always a living and effective word through the power of the Holy Spirit. It expresses the Father's love that never fails in its effectiveness toward us. You see, preaching in adversity, part of the adversity is our own ignorance and weakness. We bear the word of God, not just our own ideas. To understand the word of God, I'm going on now, we need to appreciate and experience the essential meaning and value of the whole liturgical action. A faith-filled understanding of sacred scripture must always refer back to the liturgy, in which the word of God is celebrated as a timely and living word. And then a quote. In the liturgy, the church faithfully adheres to the way Christ himself read and explained the sacred scriptures, beginning with his coming forth in the synagogue and urging all to search the scriptures. And so it goes on, you see. By recalling in this way the mysteries of redemption, the church opens up to the faithful the riches of the saving merits of her Lord and makes them present to all time, allowing the faithful to enter into contact with them and be filled with the grace. Can you see this, the importance of proclaiming the word in this whole liturgy, you see? Liturgy is God action toward us and our response to him. But it's both. Now, this is a quote, several quotes, actually. It is the task of priests and deacons, above all when they administer the sacraments, to explain the unity between word and sacrament in the ministry of the church. The unity. The relationship between word and sacramental gesture is the liturgical expression of God's activity in the history of salvation through the performative character of the word, which is a strong point if you've read Verbum Domini. It's a strong point, the performative character of the word, not just in the sacrament, I baptize you, and so forth. But in the liturgy, in the Gospels, by educating the people of God to discover the performative character of God's Word in the liturgy, we will help them to recognize His activity in salvation history and in their individual lives. How many of us can recall times when the Lord has said something to us, or we've understood something in a new way, and it never left us? So that's what an efficacious word really is. And that's what we're discussing right now. So now, Jesus' discourse on the bread speaks of the gift of God, which Moses obtained for his people with the manna in the desert, which is really the Torah, the life-giving word of God, as it says in Psalm 119. In his own person, Jesus brings to fulfillment the ancient image. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Here, the law has become a person. When we encounter Jesus, we feed on the living God himself, so to speak. We truly eat the bread from heaven. You see? So, what I'm trying to point out is that the liturgy itself, you see, is suffused, is supported, is animated, and has power by the Word of God. The presence of Jesus, I'm still quoting, first with his words and then with the act of breaking bread, this is on the way to Emmaus, made it possible for the disciples to recognize him. Now they were able to appreciate in a new way all they had previously experienced with him. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? This is part of the liturgy. Every liturgy, in a sense, should be a walk to Emmaus, where first Jesus meets us, he breaks open the scriptures for us, and then he breaks the bread. That's not supposed to be just poetic language. That's what the liturgy is, you see. And this is another quote. It can never be forgotten that the divine word, read and proclaimed by the church, has as its one purpose the sacrifice of the new covenant and the banquet of grace, that is, the Eucharist. Word and Eucharist are so deeply bound together that we cannot understand one without the other. The Word of God sacramentally takes flesh in the event of the Eucharist. The Eucharist opens up to us an understanding of Scripture, and is referring there to Emmaus, you see. And so, I'm trying to mediate this notion of the unity of the preaching and the canon as the presence of the Word, who ultimately is Jesus himself. And so we'll stop there and pick it up after the break.